Welcome to the conversation, and thanks for spending the hour with us. Hawaii's Attorney General Douglas Chin is back in Honolulu after a meeting we don't hear much about, the Conference of Western Attorneys General, or CWAG. Douglas Chin is this year's chair. We sat down in our studio earlier today to talk about whether Hawaii versus Trump is coloring the discussion of the bipartisan group, how the other national agencies are involved in the CWAG Alliance partnership, and why this meeting took place in Mexico, which some might find ironic, given all the president's talk about building a wall.
The Conference of Western State Attorneys General is basically made up of the Western states, basically all the way from the mountain states to the West Coast, and then the Pacific jurisdictions, which includes Hawaii and Alaska and Guam and American Samoa. And part of that conference is the fact that we maintain great networking relationships with the bordering countries, including Mexico and Canada. And so part of this visit, which was planned long ago, which was a chance for us to be able to introduce ourselves to the new Mexico Attorney General. His name is General Raul Cervantes Andrade. And it was a chance for us to be able to build a relationship with him and talk about what our partnership had been all about. And I'm really pleased because he was obviously somebody who gets it, who understands that when it comes to law enforcement, there really are no borders. But I think for the people in law enforcement, they understand that one of the most important things that you need is you have to know who you're talking to on the other side of the phone or the emails in order to be able to talk about different criminal elements.
The Alliance partnership has gone on for many years, but we don't seem to hear a whole lot about it. We hear more about the more inflammatory things, not necessarily the efforts to create a sense of a shoring up, if you will, of the Mexican judicial system. Why don't we hear very much about that part?
Well, I think a lot of it is behind the scenes, but it's a very important part just to be able to build upon those relationships and to be able to grow from it. So let me just give you an example. For example, when methamphetamine was such it still is a very big deal, but when it was first starting to be on the increase, a lot of it started from Asia and a lot of it was coming through Hawaii. And so Hawaii became a very important resource for that. And on the other hand, now you have, when I was there in Mexico, one of the things they talked about was how there's a lot of fentanyl and opioid abuse, which is now a big deal here in the mid 2010s unfortunately, it's a crime spree that is sweeping the country, and maybe it hasn't hit Hawaii as much, but it sounds like it's really heading our way. So part of the dialogue is to be able to talk about those things and figure out how we as law enforcement can be able to get ourselves ready for that.
You attended not as a member, but as chair of CWAG. What makes your responsibility in all of this a little different, especially given the high profile that you have now because of Hawaii versus Trump?
Right. Well, we actually didn't bring up the Trump lawsuit, and that's because it's a bipartisan organization. So when we go over, I'm representing it's Republicans and Democrats, and part of the reason why I'm completely comfortable with that is I think all of us AGs, attorneys general, can understand that 90% of our job is not political. We 90% of our job completely overlaps. We have the same interests. We're all interested in stopping, consumer fraud, drug abuse, criminal elements, child pornography,
issues.
Environmental issues. Those things are so important to all of us, and it really doesn't matter what political persuasion that we come from. So actually the topic of our lawsuit didn't come up. It was much more about just, how can we as the United States AGs help you in the Mexico government, and how can you guys help us with the communications that you have? I just wanted to quickly mention that you did talk about, you alluded to the fact that there's a training element that we provide, which is that the American system and the American rule of law is up until now, it's been something that's been so respected around the world. And the Mexico prosecutors, they really want that kind of training. They want that kind of adversarial system so that people aren't just facing tribunals or facing things that are unfair, but that there really is a transparent process. And so we've been able to help out with that, even with sending training, which ultimately I think is good for all of us, because the more that we have a good rule of law all around the world, the better off that is for the U.S.
Have you seen any substantive change since you've been working with Mexico?
Oh, yeah. So the Mexico AG, and I will share this, I mean, he was talking about how that really is a goal of theirs, is to, you know, get away. I mean, so we hear in the news about, you know, all the kind of the bad stories of what happens in Mexico. But I think what was really fascinating to me is just how, you know, clearly at the levels of people who are policymakers, they don't want to continue with that kind of reputation. You know, they want to have a system that is just and fair, and also effective. And so that was a big part of it. It was very, very exciting to be there.
You mentioned that although you are clearly high profile when it comes to Hawaii versus Trump, that didn't color what happened in Mexico. But stepping back from that for a moment, we had a big week last week with the temporary restraining order now becoming an injunction, and then having the president say that he's going to appeal that. As you look at where we are now with Hawaii versus Trump, how do you see this moving forward?
Sure. Well, 2 weeks ago when the temporary restraining order was issued by the federal judge here, Judge Watson, President Trump had actually gone in front of thousands of people at a rally and said, the second version of the executive order is just a watered-down version of the first one. And if I had my way, I'd go back to the first one because that's what I wanted in the first place. Well, we just took those words and just put them in our briefs to argue for an injunction, because we said, boy, if there's any sort of evidence that you could have of neutral words actually being a pretext for a Muslim ban, it's right there. And fortunately, Judge Watson agreed with us and issued the injunction. The next step is, in fact, the U.S. has filed a notice of appeal with the Ninth Circuit, which is the same circuit that decided the Washington case. It'll be a different panel of judges, probably, but the Washington precedent will still be there, and we'll see what happens from there. So, yes, this isn't over. This is an early step in the process.
Are you having more conversations with other attorneys general about this and relative to their own perceptions of the president, what they might feel as threats in their own states?
Sure. I think that a lot of the different states are really focused on different decisions that have, I mean, you know, what can I say? I mean, all of us for the last 80 plus days have just been on, you know, I have to say on pins and needles, just being focused on what are the different decisions that have been coming around from Washington, D.C. So there's been a lot of talk about not just the travel ban, but decisions that were made with the EPA and you know, going back on those rules. That's an environmental issue. There's a lot of dubiousness about ethical considerations, which the reason why that applies to our states is that, let me just give you an example. We have Trump hotels and Trump properties that are here in the state of Hawaii, and certainly if there are national governments or if there are international organizations that are staying at the Trump hotel instead of staying at another hotel, just because they want to curry favor with the government and the highest levels of government still have an interest in those organizations, that's a problem. You know, that's going to be something that is it's actually a constitutional problem. It's not even just an ethical problem. So that's all part of it.
Does it matter, though, if that's only a matter of licensing a name as opposed to having true ownership, or is perception perception?
Well, it's the perception, but I think it's also the concern that has been raised by many, which is that the president or certainly his daughter or his son-in-law, they haven't truly divested themselves and placed their holdings into a blind trust the way predecessors had done so. That's not how the administration feels about it, of course. But that is a concern. But yes, it does result in a lot of dialogue between the different states.
And finally, as you're looking out, and who knows what may happen in the future with this president, but are there particular areas that you are vigilant about as you consider Hawaii's position that may be a little different from other attorneys general
sure.
in other states?
You know, one of the ways that we're very unique is that we have a prepaid health care plan, prepaid health care act that was passed, which in many ways was, I'm probably simplifying it, but it was kind of like an early version of healthcare for everybody, even before Obamacare came around. So I think with all the different efforts that were made to try to scrap Obamacare, and I'm not passing judgment on that in what I'm talking about. Really, the concern that we have in Hawaii is just making sure that whatever happens in the federal government, it doesn't affect our own state laws about the Prepaid Health Care Act, which, to our minds, has worked very well for the state of Hawaii for the past several years.
I wish you had more time to talk. I'll look forward to our next conversation.
Great. Thank you.
Douglas Chin is the Attorney General for the state of Hawaii and this year's chair of the Conference of Western Attorneys General. ¶¶